Just in time for summer, the folks at Epic Brewing have released a new canned cocktail, the Utah Margarita. A delicious blend of real lime and agave, the Utah Margarita is ready to drink by the river or in the park. And here's the kicker, no need to buy it at a liquor store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or visit Epic Brewing on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. The data on housing is validating the vibes. And there's news this week for renters, landlords, and homeowners. Plus, with a new state flag in the air, we explore all Utah's official state things. Executive producer Emily Means is here for a midweek news roundup and to give some shout-outs. It's Wednesday, March 13th. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Good morning, executive producer Emily Means. I have breaking news for you.
But I have breaking news for you later.
Oh, okay. Let's bookend with breaking news.
Okay. What do you got?
My breaking news is for Gilmore Girls. And I feel like every time Gilmore Girls comes up on this show, we get a lot of feedback. I think we have a lot of like listeners who were Gilmore Girls watchers or rewatchers during the pandemic. Of course, this is the popular show from the aughts about a fast-talking mother-daughter duo. I know you're a fan, and what I need you to know, have you seen this?
No.
Okay. Lauren Graham, who played the titular mother character, Lorelai Gilmore, is touring with her book. It's called Have I Told You This Already? And according to the King's English Bookshop, she's coming to Salt Lake City.
When?
April 10th at 7:30 p.m. at the Union Events Center. Tickets are $45.
Excuse me. Just pause for a second. I need to update my calendar. What did you say? April 10th? Is that what you said?
April 10th, 7:30 p.m. at the Union Events Center. Tickets are $45. The VIP tickets are already sold out. These are general admission. I have a feeling there might be a signing. I don't know. TBD.
Wow.
But this is huge. Lauren Graham, I mean, I was a Gilmore Girls watcher in like middle school, and that was the stuff.
I think there's, you know, there's got to be a lot about CityCast listeners that just makes you a Gilmore Girl watcher.
Yeah, they're,
you know,
millennial women, Emily. We know
millennial women. That's all it is.
We have this
fast
data.
Talking millennial women. No. And if you're not a Gilmore Girls
unlike us,
watcher,
anyways, let's move on.
We still appreciate you listening.
The real news this week, top line, is that we've got stuff for renters, homeowners, and landlords. May we all come together in peace to talk about a story from Sophia Jeremias at the Salt Lake Tribune. She actually was busy this week. She had two great housing stories. Let's start with this one, which is called Five Numbers That Show Just How Bad Utah's Housing Crisis Is.
How much more bad can it get is what I want to know.
Honestly, God, it's like, ugh. Yeah, I mean, I will say it's one of those things where it's like you read through this and you're like, yeah, I mean, this is data that's kind of just validating how we feel. It's when the data validates the vibes. It's DVV.
Yeah. Yeah.
What stood out to you? You want to start?
Okay. First thing that actually surprised me is that Utah leads the nation in home ownership rates, except it's not us. It's not millennials. Millennials have been hit the hardest. We will not see the affordability that other generations have seen in terms of housing prices until 2030 or later. That doesn't bode well for us.
Yeah. No. And the takeaway is like everyone who already has a home, good for you. Everyone who wants to acquire a home, consider renting.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City was just named the 14th least affordable metro area in the United States. And there is nothing very exciting about that data point, except that for years, people have been moving to Salt Lake City under the claim or like the banner that it's affordable.
Yeah.
Like cost of living has been the reason. And Utahns themselves love to say, like, oh, it's cheap here. Don't tell your friends because everyone from California is moving here and ruining everything. And we know there's been, like, data after data that actually that's not the case. Like,
a lot of people who live in Salt Lake City are Utahns that have migrated from rural areas. We've got people coming from all over the country, not just California. But one of the things that stood out to me in this story that Sophia points to is wages and the relationship between not rising wages in this state and homeownership. And yes, for a long time, Utah has been lauded as an affordable place to live. But I think that, like, state leaders have not necessarily kept up with the trend. And so our wages do not match our cost of living now. According to the Utah Foundation, household incomes in our state only rose by about 20% between 1985 and 2021. But over that same 35-year span, home prices increased by 90%.
Allie.
And I just have to say, shout out to the Utah legislature, who forbid cities from implementing rent control, who year after year have chosen not to raise the minimum wage. This year, 22 states increased their minimum wage. Utah was not one of them. Ours still sits at $7.25 an hour. In D.C., minimum wage is $15 an hour. And also, shout out to the Utah legislature for not allowing cities to raise their minimum wage.
Allie, I don't know if they're ever gonna get it. Like, when I was a politics reporter a couple years back, I remember sitting down with then House Speaker Brad Wilson. And, you know, it was like a pre-session chit chat, you know, what are your priorities? And, you know, they always say that making it more affordable for Utahns to live here is a priority. But when I asked him, okay, so what about the other part of this equation? What about raising the minimum wage, the very most basic thing you could do to take this step in the right direction? He says, no, we mostly see this as a supply and demand issue. And that is reiterated in this Utah Foundation report. You know, their main takeaway from the researcher was Utah has been underbuilding relative to household formation since the financial crisis. So I think they're going to continue to lean into this. We got to build, we got to build, we got to build. And that the other side of the equation here is just, it's null to them. So I don't know how we move forward.
But is supply still an issue? Like, I know that supply was an issue in 2020, 2021, 2022, those like kind of pandemic home buying years. But is supply still as much of an issue now? Or is it that, like, we finally have enough supply or close to it, but interest rates are high? So it's like not a good moment to be investing. And again, our wages are kind of stagnant. Because let's imagine that you make enough money to buy a home. So, like, what? The median income in Utah is $89,000 a year. If you don't want to spend more than 30% of your income on a mortgage payment every month, you're looking at a house that's affordable for you. You make, what, almost $90,000 a year. A house that's affordable for you right now in Utah would be $270,000.
Where is it?
I have not seen a house for sale for $270,000 in this state since 2019, maybe. You could buy a house in, like, Rose Park and get on the gentrification train if you were in the mood for that.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Allie, I was looking at Zillow, I don't know, to torment myself recently. I'm not in the market currently to buy a house. And that's because right now.
Nobody is, and we'll get there.
Right now, it's better for me to rent. And it's mostly better for most people to rent because what we have been building is apartments. And so we have so much apartment stock now that this is really a renter's market, right? And I could not find anything, Allie, in downtown Salt Lake or the surrounding neighborhoods, which is where I would like to live, that fit my budget as someone who makes, you know, like around the median income. So I don't know.
And we wonder why we're closing 4 elementary schools, right? Like, imagine trying to live here and having 2 kids.
Yeah.
There was this plot that the Kempsey Gardner Institute put out a couple months ago, and it was so interesting to me because what it said was, if you looked at last year's market and what homeowners were paying in their mortgage versus what renters were paying in their rent, the disparity was that homeowners were paying 80% higher mortgage payments than median rent would cost them. So, like, if you look at that over time, it used to be like, I mean, the big case for buying a house that I think all of our parents have made to us at some point is like, you know, why are you paying someone else's mortgage when you could be paying your own? You know, like, ultimately, it nets out to where your mortgage payment will probably be the same as your rent payment. You just got to get that down payment together and, like, you can cruise. If I were paying a mortgage in this city right now, it would be 80% higher than my rent. And when the fridge breaks, I just call someone and they come fix it.
Yeah.
Count me out.
Yeah.
Honestly, count me out. We're not building wealth, but we're not losing 80% of our wealth every month.
Oh, man, Allie. So renters, it's kind of a renter's market, as we mentioned. And Salt Lake City has some new tools for renters because, as I think most people who rent here in Utah know, our landlord-tenant laws do not, in fact, favor tenants. They favor landlords. That's because landlords wrote the laws. Kurt Cullimore Sr., who is the biggest eviction attorney in the state, essentially wrote all of the eviction laws for the Utah legislature. And so Salt Lake City's got this new tool. It's a consumer protection portal where renters can submit complaints, they can ask questions, and the city will connect them with resources. So I think this is pretty cool. I'm wondering, you know, how often people, I want to see the data. Like, once this thing really rolls out, I want to know who's writing in and what the complaints are and if there are any trends or themes based on, you know, property management companies or locations in the city. So, yeah, we'll see what comes out of this.
We should do a show, honestly, in like 6 months or a year from now on what the data says. But one of the things that's interesting to me is, like, I know it was about a year ago, I think, maybe a year and a half ago, that Wasatch Tenants United, which is a grassroots organizing group that's forming tenant unions across the city and just doing a lot of unionizing around rental rights, was gathering a registry of bad actors. And I wonder if, like, this coincides with or resulted from conversations that the city has been having with activists in writing some of its housing plans, like its anti-gentrification plan and things like that. Because, I mean, that work is already kind of been done at the grassroots level. Like,
you're right.
If you're Wasatch Tenants United, you could just log on this portal and upload all your data.
Yeah, that's a good point, Allie. I'm hoping, I mean, that'd be great news if the city and these grassroots orgs were working in tandem.
Dream scenario. I do want to say one other piece of housing news we got this week that's really interesting to me is that the city is really going to start cracking down on Airbnbs and VRBOs. I think they go by Vrbo now. Their ads, they always say
Oh, yeah, I do Vrbo. Always get those ads.
It's like a rebrand. Yeah, try Vrbo. So you may not know this if you log on Airbnb.com and search Salt Lake City, but short-term rentals, like anything under 30 days, is banned in city limits.
I didn't know this, Allie, and a huge surprise to me that this was on the books.
Well, the problem is it's really hard to enforce. Like, what do? You hire someone to professionally go on Airbnb, fake book these places, show up, and leave a notice on the door? Honestly, a little Pink Panther, but like not
a
bad idea.
Sounds like a fun job, actually. No.
Yeah, I would love that job. Oh my God. But right until now, it's really just kind of been neighbors telling on each other. Like, someone suspects that their neighbor is running an Airbnb and they try and report them. Now, the Salt Lake City Council has allotted almost $50,000 for a new data gathering software that will help enforce the ban. This is like a version of policing that might be good for renters. What's interesting to me is that, you know, we just got, I feel like this is timely because we just got this change in zoning that would allow for more ADUs or accessory dwelling units, aka like mother-in-law suites or units in the backyard. And one of the loudest voices in opposition to the expansion of ADUs was people saying, well, this is just going to lead to more Airbnbs in our neighborhood. Like, more, these just tend to come online as rental units. And those people aren't wrong. Like, it's enticing to run an Airbnb instead of rent to someone in your backyard consistently. But that passed, like, the ADU allowance has increased. And now par and partner to that, it feels like, is this, the city council finding ways to crack down on people renting out those ADUs as Airbnbs.
Mm-hmm. And the point of that enforcement is we want people to live in these units. Allie, I actually really was surprised. I did not know that Airbnbs were banned in Salt Lake City. And I mean, I guess there could be some workarounds in a way. The ordinance is around hotels, motels, bed and breakfasts, and those are only allowed in certain districts. They are generally not allowed in residential districts, which is kind of, you know, how Salt Lake City has created this Airbnb short-term rental ban. And I thought that the legislature, like, completely disallowed cities from regulating Airbnbs. And so this must be, like, kind of Salt Lake City's creative loophole. But, you know, in terms of what the city is up against, I mean, even this session, there was legislation proposed to require short-term rentals to be licensed through cities and for that to be posted on websites and apps, and that bill didn't pass. So the legislature makes it really hard to regulate these short-term rentals, and it looks like Salt Lake City is just doing what they can to have some sort of control over the situation.
And good for them. Like, see our show on Monday. We are always in support of cities flexing their muscles against the legislature when they can. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita, a delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave. And they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah Margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's. Or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo. Okay, Emily, it is March and he has risen. And I am referring to the new state flag.
I did not know where you were going there.
Despite protests from about 11 people and Representative Phil Lyman, we have a new state flag. It was officially unfurled at the Capitol on Saturday. It is State Senator Dan McKay's triumph. The new state flag, if you haven't seen it, so the old one was blue with the state seal in the middle. Honestly, it did suck. It was, like, kind of hard to distinguish.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
If you were, like, driving up on it from behind, it said Hattu, because it doesn't make sense to have the word Utah across
it. Doesn't make sense to have words on flags.
It doesn't make sense to have words on flags at all. Salt Lake City also recently got a new flag, if you missed that, which, in my opinion, is far superior to the state flag. It features the beautiful sago lily. It's just very clean, and I love the blue color that happens to match our CityCast Salt Lake logo. All that to say, the Utah state flag has a beehive in the middle.
Of course it does.
Which is the official state symbol. And it's gotten a lot of us over here on the CityCast team thinking about why we have these state symbols, of which there are dozens, and they get wonky and kooky and bizarre. They're often implemented because someone at the legislature decides they're going to run a bill to declare something the official state, X, Y, or Z. And our newsletter editor, Thani Naria, wrote about it in the newsletter on Tuesday and also made a quiz. And I have made you a quiz, Emily. That's a different quiz.
Of course you did.
Before we do that, I just want to say, I looked into why we have all these official state things. Do you know this backstory?
No.
Okay. So according to some Googling, the unofficial account of why states implement state things is that at the Chicago World's Fair in 1893, they had a national garland of flowers, and it was made up of a flower representing each one of the states in 1893. And like after that, legislatures began adopting other official state things. So I think it started with the flower, is what I'm saying.
Okay, that's nice. I thought it was just like, hey, we need to get fourth graders engaged in government. Let's give them a project. Okay, it's the state crustacean. And that's actually the story of how we got the state crustacean, I think, right?
Which is the brine shrimp. Yeah, 100%. Or it's like, sometimes I see them and I'm like, is this the result of a lobby? Like, our official state rock is coal. Did someone lobby for that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, out of all the rocks we have in Utah, and we got a lot of them.
We got red rocks, baby. Coal? We got red rocks on our license plate. Anyway, okay. I have put together four questions for you, Emily.
Okay.
Are you ready? I know that you do not like making decisions. I would like you to just follow your gut. Okay.
I'll follow my gut.
Okay. Emily Means, what is Utah's official state cooking pot? Is it the wok, Dutch oven, stock pot, or double boiler?
It's the Dutch oven. Next.
Yes! Ding! What is the official state folk dance? Is it the square dance, shoddish, Navajo basket dance, or line dance?
Man, that's a really tricky one.
You can't phone a friend, unfortunately, or poll the audience. It's just us.
I feel like it might be the line dance, and here's why. Because in fourth grade, I went to This Is the Place Heritage Park, and we did line dancing.
Wow. Okay. Though I think the Westerner bar would love for that to be correct. Unfortunately, it is A, the square dance.
Oh, son of a gun. I mean, that's just four line dances put together.
That's so true. And I actually think the way that it's defined in Utah statute is hysterical. They specifically say, the square dance, prompted to the dancers and includes squares, rounds, clogging, contra, line, and heritage 57 dances. Mm. So technically that was a trick question.
You
and the line
dog.
Dance is also one of our official state dances. Okay. What is Utah's official state motto? Is it, this is the place, the Utah way, in God we trust, or just industry?
Industry.
Yes, queen.
Yes.
You know it. The almighty dollar. Let's go. Last question. What is the official state railroad museum? I picked this one for you because you're a transit queen. Is it the Brigham City Depot, Trolley Square, Ogden Union Station, or the Rio Grande?
I think I'm going to go with Ogden Union Station. That feels
yes!
most...
You're
oh
right.
Oh my God,
you
that Utah it. Studies class I took in seventh grade really paid off.
I mean, I do think you did so well on this because you were raised
here. I just feel these things deeply in my bones as a Utahan.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was so fun.
Thank you. I just want to say, if you feel all these things deeply in your bones as well, you should know, as part of this whole state flag redesign, like a year ago when this was announced, it actually started with a contest where people could submit their design for the state flag. And all those designs were reviewed by a committee and boiled down and reworked and whatever, whatever. And we ended up with the thing we all knew we were going to get, which was a beehive. But a man named Grant Miller created what I think is the best Utah state flag. And it is a skiing dinosaur. And it just says industry across the bottom. And it's this like really kooky image that features almost every single one of Utah's official state things on it. You can buy it for $30 on Bonfire. I have one. I proudly wear it constantly. I'll put the link in the episode description. But all the funds raised from the sale of these t-shirts go to the Rocky Mountain Innocence Center, which is an innocence project, which is super cool. So if you really want to go all in on this kookiness, follow your heart all the way to this Bonfire link.
This is the place for the t-shirt.
This is the place. Okay, let's do shout outs and get out of here. You want to go first?
Yeah, because I have breaking news for you, Ali Vallarta.
Ah!
University of Utah scientists have discovered roundworms, aka nematodes, in the Great Salt Lake. And this is big news.
Sounds gross.
I mean, I guess I think it's probably kind of gross, but kind of cool. Like, that's the spectrum of news here. This is big news because previously the only multicellular animals known to be able to survive in our salty lake were brine shrimp and brine flies. So nematodes are joining the list. Scientists say this is the saltiest body of water that they have ever been discovered in. And this is really like a tale of we need to continue to try to save this lake because the nematodes were found in microbialites. You know what those microbialites are, Allie, at the lake? They're kind of like those underwater rocks that are alive. You've seen them. I think you've seen them because as the lake shrinks, the microbialites come to the surface and they dry out. And so this is really a tale of we need to save the lake so that the microbialites can stay alive so that the nematodes can continue to live in them kind of thing.
Why do we need nematodes? I mean, no offense. Like, I mean,
it's all about the ecosystem, man.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not
balance. We need them for balance.
It's about balance. So shout out to the University of Utah scientists who discovered these nematodes, and also shout out to our newly discovered nematode neighbors.
Yeah.
That's what I got for you.
Well, congrats to everyone involved, including the nematodes. I wonder how they feel about being outed.
I know, right? And it's, I mean, how long have they been there? They've just been squatting in the microbialites for thousands of years.
If I were a nematode, I would be like, oh, God, I do not want to be the official state two-celled creature. Like, just leave me be. They came for the brine shrimp. Now the fourth graders are going to be down here digging us up, passing a bill. No
peace. Utah's official water worm.
Okay, my shout out is to a group of people that I met over the weekend that organize this thing called Oscar Party SLC. And on the Saturday before the Oscars, the actual Academy Awards, they host their own Academy Awards. And it seems like this started, well, they said it started as 14 people in a basement in Salt Lake City. And they would make films that are basically like less than 2-minute films that are scenes from famous Oscar-nominated or not Oscar-nominated movies that they like reenact in full makeup with incredible location scouting.
Oh, wow.
Like, I don't know if these people film make for a living, but like the editing is pretty outstanding. And then they all vote on their favorites and hand out Oscars to each other. Over the past 10 years, this party has grown to what it was this weekend, which was more than probably 100 people at a venue in Salt Lake City. And I basically snuck in.
Yeah, I was wondering. It seems like it might have been invite only, and I'm wondering if you were invited.
I was not invited, but I went. And I had the absolute time of my life. I laughed until I thought I was going to cry. And I guess what I want to say is shout out to people, families, friend groups all over this city who are making life more fun by just committing to the bit. As someone who one time drank it every bout time in a day, like, I see you. I honor you. I think there is nothing cooler than committing to the bit with your friends. And Oscar Party SLC, I wish you many more years of glory. I am not going to out your location or anything else about this party, but I am going to share the link in our episode description to your YouTube page where people can watch videos from years past that are so good. They have like 100,000 views.
Oh my God.
And that's that. I just think this is a cool city full of great people.
Allie, I think they embody our state motto, which is industry.
Industry. Yes. Yes. If only they were serving food out of a Dutch oven instead of Big Daddy's pizza. Okay, executive producer Emily Means, have a great day.
Have a great day, Allie.
That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake.
If this show makes you feel more connected to our city and to each other, I would love if you became a founding CityCast Salt Lake member. You can get more info at membership.citycast.fm. I also put a link in the episode description. Thank you. We will be back tomorrow morning with more from around this city. Bye.